Good morning. We live in a society where we have many computers in our pockets, where we can take pictures, where we can do videos and post it to the internet. It's amazing at how far technology has gone. I've seen some of the older cameras. I remember when, I think they were Polaroids, you take a picture and the little thing comes out and you got to wave it back and forth and the picture will start coming more clear as you wave it. And then cameras even before then. And then I remember the big old recording cameras that the dads would go around videotaping Christmases, Thanksgiving. And you had to go get film developed. I remember that. You know, you had to get these videos put on, well, they're on the little cassette tapes, but you know, I remember VHS tapes. Who remembers those? They're obsolete now. But today, you know, people have these smartphones and you can do almost anything with them. And we live in a world as well that influencers exist. Influencers are people who do videos, create content, and millions upon millions of views. And they make money from it. There are many influencers who have become rich over the years. One influencer that, you know, his videos are entertaining, his videos are clean, and the younger people may know who I'm talking about, but Mr. Beast, he's a big time influencer, makes tons of money from what he does. And one video in particular that he did, I think it was about a year, maybe 2 years ago, he went over to Africa with his team and they built, if I'm not mistaken, wells to provide clean water, drinking water to the people over there. And what a great deed, right? I mean, of course, I would like to see one day world hunger to become a thing of the past, which it probably won't. But what a great deed. But millions upon millions viewed this video. He posted the video, and of course, millions saw, and I don't know his heart, I don't know him personally, but you sometimes question their motives when they do things like that, and not just him, but many who post themselves doing a charitable deed, doing something that it seems like they want the world to see, to pat them on the back saying, good job. Is that how we are to do charitable deeds? Should that be our motive when we do something good? And it doesn't always necessarily need to be a charitable deed. But maybe you go and you help someone do a project or whatever it may be, and you go off and you tell people, I did A, B, and C this weekend. I helped these people do this and that. To me, that's just not the right attitude. That's not the right motive. Especially when Christians are doing so. As a Christian, there are things we are called to do. And the first being, not to become a hypocrite. When we look at our main text here in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But he goes on a little bit further down in Matthew 6, talking about prayer, starting in verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. Then if you go down on further, starting in verse 16, here Christ is talking about fasting. Verse 16, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites, with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men be fasting. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. who are these hypocrites that we see Christ talking about in these three parts? Well, when we look at our main text, they were in synagogues. We see that Christ had a lot of run-ins with the scribes and Pharisees at this time. These men who were called to uphold the law of God were not doing so. Instead, they chose to be men pleasers. They wanted a pat on the back. They wanted to be told, "You are great. You are wonderful." To be seen for their prayers, to be seen when fasting. These men are doing what is contrary to the law. And Christ is using them as examples for his followers here. He tells us, do not be like the hypocrites. We need to understand this. These Pharisees, they would make their phylacteries broad. They would go forth, as we see in Matthew chapter 23, starting in verse 4 here. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders. For they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers, but all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. These were the men who upheld the law of Moses, the Pentateuch, the Torah. But yet they themselves did not follow every word. Instead, they would place burdens on others, and they would not take one finger and to remove those burdens. They wanted the best places during feasts. They wanted the best seats in the synagogues. You know, we do have some front rows here if anybody wants to sit in the front rows. These men did good things to be seen by men, to be patted on the back. As Christians, we are not to do so. Instead, when we look at the fasting, what are we to do? We're to look normal, aren't we? When we fast, we're not doing it to please men. What are we doing it to do? Please God. You know, if I'm fasting, I'm not going to go on Facebook or Instagram or all of that nonsense and tell people I'm fasting. You know, I remember when I cannot remember the name of it for some reason. But Catholics celebrated Ash Wednesday, and that's where they go and they get the ash put on their forehead and they are to fast. And I remember Mark Wahlberg, a famous celebrity, he's Catholic. He got on and was talking about it and saying, I'm fasting from such and such. Well, apparently people don't read Scripture because that's not what we're told to do. It's not why we are doing it. Now, if we're trying to teach someone something, if we're trying to teach about fasting, that's one thing. But when it comes to ourselves trying to do what is pleasing to God, it's not. We need to have the right motive. We need to have the right attitude, not like the hypocrites. Because as Paul would say in Galatians 1:10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Now, Paul here is talking to the Galatians who have gone away from the doctrine of Christ into false doctrine, into doctrine of men. And he's surprised, he's shocked about this, that they would leave so quickly behind the doctrine of Christ. You know, when we look at Romans chapter 2, Paul is talking to the Jews. Romans 1, he deals with the Gentiles. And he tells the Jews in Romans 2, you guys approve of what they're doing. You're not standing firm in the law. You're not teaching them the right thing to do. You're approving of what they're doing, the sin that they are living in. Because you are trying to please men. You're not trying to please God. What are we trying to do in our efforts to do these charitable deeds? What are we trying to do when we pray, when we fast? Are we trying to, do we want everyone to see, this is what I'm doing, praise me? Or are we doing it to please God? God's the one that gives us eternal life. God is the one that has given us a way to obtain salvation. There is no other name under heaven in which salvation can be found. Eternal life can be found. It's only in Christ. Guess what? I'm looking to please the one who can give me eternal life. It's so easy, especially for ministers, to fall into this way of becoming prideful in what they do. And I have seen a few in my days. Men who think of themselves as something great, who have the wrong attitude when they come up behind the pulpit. And it's sad, really, because these men now are looking to please people, not please God. I've seen men and women, brothers and sisters, turn to false doctrine in order to please their families, their spouses, their friends. Guess what? You've earned yourself. You haven't earned yourself the reward of eternal life. You've received the reward of eternal punishment. We as Christians, we as disciples, are called to please God and not man when we do these things. We look at the early church and what they did. The early church were doing the things they were doing to please God, not man. They were selling what they had in order to provide for those in need, not themselves. Once again, we do it to please God. And so, why the secrecy? As we see, going back to our main text in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 3. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 3. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Now, is he saying that we got to keep it a complete secret? Because let me tell you, once again, we do live in an age of technology, of smartphones. And everywhere you go, everyone's on a smartphone. Everyone is recording. You know, I think about fights that break in other states and restaurants. People always have their phones. They like a good fight, don't they? Phones are out everywhere. You go to a concert. Now, I remember back in the 90s when you went to a concert, the lighters would be held up. Now you see the screens of smartphones in some concerts. Once again, it is hard to get away with things. And a good example of this, I didn't grow up during the original trilogy of Star Wars. But Mark Hamill had to keep the hardest secret in all cinema history, that Darth Vader was Luke's father. And he was talking about, you know, if you wanted something out there quickly, you go to Carrie Fisher, she'll get it out there. So they had to give her a fake script. They had to give Han Solo a fake script, but Mark Hamill knew the answer. Now things get leaked. And so what am I saying? There are going to be people who may film you without you noticing, trying to do something good. And it does happen. It does. Christ here is not saying keep it completely secret, because we look at the word here. But when you do a charitable deed, going back up to verse 3. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That your charitable deed may be in secret. We know many times when Christ would perform a miracle at the beginning, he would tell them not to tell anyone. Now, does Christ really have control? Because we see at one point, someone does slip and go and tell what has happened. And so, once again, things do get out. But as long as your motive, your attitude for doing such a thing is right. When you go to a model prayer, he goes on to say, verse 6, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Do we, every time we pray, have to go into a room, shut our doors, and pray? No. We have public prayer, right? We have it during worship service. Once again, have the right mindset, the right motive when you are doing these things. That you're here doing what is pleasing to God and not man. Not looking for attention, not looking for a pat on your back. Once again, Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Worldly mindset is this. I want everyone to know. I want everyone to see what I'm doing. I want to be glorified. It goes back to people wanting to leave behind a legacy, to be remembered. Bodybuilders. I don't know if you ever watched Arnold Schwarzenegger. He used to be a bodybuilder before he became an actor. They were huge guys. They would get up on a grand stage, show off their muscles. And now, he's considered the king of bodybuilding, Ronnie Coleman, has had 18 back surgeries, I think a few knee surgeries. Pretty much can't walk up straight, has to be on crutches. I mean, it's a terrible sight. But why do they do these things? Why do they put their bodies through this much torture? It's to be glorified. It's to be remembered. And as Christians, for me as a Christian, it's not about being remembered. I could care less if this world remembers me or not. But what does matter is if I have pleased God and to be remembered when I stand before God in judgment. To have Christ stand before me. And to be an advocate, to advocate for me. That's what's more important. I could care less if I ever become famous. I could care less if I ever leave behind a legacy. David was remembered as a man after God's own heart. That's what I want to be remembered as, if anything. Once again, what's your motive? What's your attitude? It's so important. When we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. When we look at this text and when we look at the context, what we see here is Paul dealing with the body, and dealing with food as well. He dealt with this with many because, of course, we know in pagan nations they would take meat, they would take food, and they would sacrifice it to idols. And so it was important to be careful. If you hear that that meat, that food was offered to idols, don't eat it, right? But once again, we know with Peter's vision in Acts that everything God had made is clean and is to be eaten, right? We see that. Peter was sent to the Gentile, to Cornelius, to teach him. And we know Cornelius and his family were baptized, became followers of Christ. But when we look at this text, it makes me think about addiction. But all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. That's the attitude of a Christian. I don't care about me. I don't care about being glorified for something I did. I'm doing it. I'm helping these people because I care and I want them to be well. I want them to have the help they need to get accomplished what they need accomplished. That's the attitude, and that's Christ's attitude when he came. He cared for the people. If he didn't care for us, if he didn't love us, he wouldn't have gave his own life for us. Especially for those who don't deserve it. We don't deserve it today. But what a beautiful attitude, what a beautiful character that needs to be in each Christian. To not seek our own, but each one the other's well-being. To care for others, to provide them with what they need, whether physical or spiritual. It's the attitude we must do. And that's what we do with charitable deeds, right? We are giving to people who need help. We are helping people who need it. It hurts me to see children be told they have cancer. That's a terrifying thing. Even adults, it's a terrifying word to us. And you know, these charitable organizations, they provide money after money. People give money, and that's great. We don't know all their motives, but once again, if our motive is to give money to this, to help them get better, to help them put better research into cancer and helping get rid of it, to extinguish it, that's great. I'm all for it. Or simply by going and reading to be with these children, to be with these adults and provide them with comfort just by sitting with them, by, you know, just talking to them. Once again, these are charitable deeds. We're helping them in any way we can. This is what we are called to do. But also to keep in mind as Christians, what's more important? Is it just the physical needs, or do we need to take care of the spiritual needs? Spiritual needs are more important. When we look at Christ and what he did come, he did heal people with physical ailments, people who were struggling physically with demon possession, whatever it may be. But his main priority was to provide people a way to have their sins washed away, to have their souls made right with God. That was his priority. When we look in places like Acts 6 and 7, when elders come up to Peter and them, and they say, hey, who's going to take care of the widows? That needs to be something that's a priority, to take care of them, to provide them what they need. Peter says, you know, I'm going to continue what I'm doing, which is preaching the gospel, making known the mysteries of the gospel. But you choose from you seven holy men, seven faithful men, to go and take care of this. That's what they did. And Stephen being one of the seven, to go and to minister to the widows and widowers, to help them, provide for them, whatever they need, whether it's physical or spiritual. What a deed that was. Once again, Paul even talks about the widows, talking about taking care of them. And so it was such an important task. So both, we need to be careful with what we pay more attention to. Of course, spiritual needs are more important, but we also have a duty as Christians to take care of physical needs, to do these charitable deeds. But not to be seen, not to be praised, but to please God as he has commanded us. What do you need? That's the question. Are you in need of something? Everyone needs help, whether it's physical or spiritual. Understanding the church, we are commissioned to take care of both. But most importantly, I want to know, are your souls right with God? That should be our first priority of a Christian, is to make sure we are right with God. For the day is coming when we will stand before God in judgment and have to answer for everything we've done. Are you in need? When we look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 4, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is witness, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. Paul did not seek man's approval. None of the apostles did. When he came to the Thessalonians, he conducted himself in a godly manner. And he came with them, making known the mysteries of the gospel. This was Paul's mindset. His heart was right, and he desires to do these things, to preach the gospel, to reach every lost soul he can. And there's evidence of that. He didn't do it to be seen by men. He did not do it to please men. Once again, going back to Galatians 1, if I were still trying to please men, I wouldn't be a bondservant of Christ. Paul at one point would do tent making, was a tent maker, in order to provide for himself, to supply with what he needed. He didn't want to burden these young congregations that he had established, these young churches that he had established, because he knew they didn't have the means to supply. But God did provide for him, because he would find places to sleep. He would be provided with the meals he needed. We know the brothers and sisters in the brotherhood at this time would provide the apostles, when they came, places to sleep, food to eat. God does provide, but we must ask and we must do as the church. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's so important as disciples that we don't let our left hand know what our right hand is doing. That we have the right attitude, the right motive when we do charitable deeds. That we are doing it to please God, not man. If we have the wrong mindset, then can we truly call ourselves Christians? Can we call ourselves disciples? Are you in need of something today? If you're not a Christian, you are in need spiritually. Your soul is not right with God. You are separated from God with your sin. And this is the time now to come forward, to give your life to Christ. Allow us as the church to provide you with the needs in order to make your souls right with Christ. And here is the provision which we will provide. One, you have heard the gospel which has been preached to you, Romans 10, 17. Now you must believe that word, Mark 16, 15 and 16. Then you must repent, change one's mind, Acts 3, 19. Then you must make the confession, confessing your faith in Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. But it doesn't stop there. You must be immersed, baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2, 38, Acts 22, 15 and 16, 1 Peter 3, 21, and so forth and so on. It's the only way we can make contact with the blood of Christ, which washes our sins away, which cleanses us, makes us pure, makes us holy. But it doesn't stop there. Now, you take on the responsibility of a disciple. You must remain faithful, Hebrews 10, 23. And what we have learned today, we are not to do things to please men, but to please God, to have the right motives, to have the right mindset as we go and we serve others. And most importantly, God. Living a life that is pure and holy, conducting ourselves in a godly manner. Or if you are a Christian and you have failed, you have fallen back into the worldly ways, you have put on that carnally minded way, there is still hope, there is still chance today to come forward and to renew your life, renew your walk with Christ. Once again, the church is here. The church is here to help you in any way. It's what we are called to do as Christians, as disciples, is to help in any way, both spiritually and physically. Let us know what you need. If you need anything, please come and stand while we sing.